Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome! Welcome to the Saucer Pod and Dog Toy Transmitting. We're hovering, as usual. Tonight we're hovering above the realms of esoterica, and we'll break with tradition a bit this evening and do some readings from a book I sent out to a lot of people, but which, I'm sure is the case, only a certain amount of people read. The book is called The Way to the Kingdom. It was written by a man named Joseph Brenner. It used to be that you couldn't even find his name on his books. He was the real deal, and came around in that period where there were a lot of I am that I am movements. Another indication of trends, like that period when theosophy and a lot of other similar movements suddenly appeared. It's like when several people discovered the telephone at the same time, or the motor car for that matter. We're in such a period now, but that's being kept out of the media because the swine gods haven't expropriated or officially suppressed any of it yet. As you can imagine, that won't be reported on later either. But what's this? Oh my, they're running out of torque. They're running out of influence and power. How sad. It sucks to be them, but that's as it should be. Anyway, I would like to share some of Master Brenner's thoughts with you this evening, taken from his book, The Way to the Kingdom. This is from page 204, a subchapter called Fear. This brings us to the consideration of the greatest obstacle that stands in the way of progression on the inner planes, which means to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom, remember, is within the mind, or within its consciousness. That obstacle is fear. The moment you let fear enter the mind, you are sucked into the emotional or astral plane. And unless you are able to calmly face it there and see it for just what it is, a craven creature of your own imagining, which has come to you to be fed, for it has no life but what you give it, by recognition and tremblingly entertaining it. Well, then you had better cease meditation and go about active work of some kind that will require your mind's full attention. Every disciple must learn. The moment any fear of whatever nature appears, to detect it immediately and to call it forth into the open compel it to stand in front of him, as it were, so that he can look it squarely in the eye, excuse me, and see it for the cowardly thing it is, usually some form of selfish quality that is being disturbed in its mental dominion and thus seeks to maintain its hold over the soul. From all of this, it should be seen that the way pictured is the road of mastery, is the conscious treading of the path inward to the kingdom as ruler of your own mind. Have you ever noticed how a positive personality not only attracts people, opportunities, and all good things to him, while weaker and negative persons unconsciously always step aside and give him the right of way? It is always so with the one who is master of his own mind, for he has compelled and taught it to serve him and other minds instinctively, recognize such, and render obeisance. Weaker souls are the slaves of their minds, of their thoughts and emotions. In true meditation, one has such control of the mind that he can focus his attention on whatever he wishes to study and know. All the forces of the mind fly to aid such a positive soul. Therefore, such meditating can be done anywhere, at any time, and in the daylight, and needs not darkness or some quiet place. Such a soul can free itself from all consciousness of the outer at will, and is able to enter such realms as it chooses. When thus freeing itself, the soul automatically rises to the realm which is its soul home, and where it always goes and works at night when the brain mind is at rest in sleep. There it sees and knows its soul companions and does whatever is required of it at the time by its higher self, even as when in the outer consciousness, although all activities in the inner will be of a soul nature necessarily, and are not concerned with personal interests, the brain mind, of course, being unaware of such activities, except of what may come through in dreams, or if psychically unfolded, of what may be seen in visions. A disciple or awakened soul, along with its brain mind, will learn eventually to enter the inner planes consciously with definite purpose, either for study or service, and will always have not only the conscious cooperation of the higher self, but of great souls and helpers, and often of the Master Jesus himself. This will point you to the necessity of regular hours and places for both meditation and group meetings. For when it is known that such meetings are faithfully held, they are always attended on the inner planes by those who seek to provide the necessary light and inspiration that the disciple wishes to bring through to their brain consciousness. Think on these things and then compare them with the negative sitting in the dark of the ordinary seance room of spiritualistic circles where members seek messages from deceased relatives or others through a medium, usually unconscious and in a trance state, his or her organism wholly controlled and utilized by disembodied entities on the astral plane. Not that the phenomena of such seances has not given to the student much necessary information of scientific value, and that all souls are influenced that way, do not gain significant and needed lessons from such experiences. But it is not the method of learning of the disciple of Christ, for he seeks to master self and all his mental and psychic forces in order to use them solely in the Master's service, in uplifting and enlightening his fellow human beings. The Law of Prosperity. Many doubtless would like an explanation of the principle or law back of tithing, and we believe that all will be interested in knowing this law, for it applies to all phases of human endeavor. This law, reduced to simple words, is: as you freely give, so will you freely receive. In other words, like so many laws difficult to understand and obey, it is a matter of right thinking and trusting. We, all of us, believe in God as the source of all things, but some of us cannot quite see him as our supply, our support, our sufficiency in all things, as so wonderfully taught by H. Emily Cady. You can look up who Katie is, quite an effective individual. Why, if we accept God as the source of all? Is it not because we do not try to prove God is such and truly and definitely try to prove Him? Jesus, our Master and Teacher, has told us many times and in many ways of actual promises of the Father to those that love and trust Him. But we do not believe Him, or we would prove it by acting as if we believed. This is peculiarly true in the matter of material supply. How many really, unquestionably trust Him? How many take no thought, are not anxious, at some time or another, about what they shall eat or drink, or wherewithal they shall be clothed, realizing that their Heavenly Father knows their need of these things, and has commanded our seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, fully expecting all things to be added unto Him? Is it not so that instead of such expecting, most earnest students go about trying to trust Him, trying, but with so many subconscious doubts and fears that they actually drive the good waiting to manifest far away from them? It resolves itself to this, and think these words over carefully. Until we learn that all that we have comes from the Father within and is for His use and not ours, except for our immediate needs, and we then act in that consciousness, knowing that as we use all in His service, more and plenty will be given to us for further use, we may find our present supply cut off or grow less, and we will be allowed to feel the stress of lack for a while. It is as if we must keep the stream ever flowing. As we give out more, more and more will pour in. This has been proven by many, especially by tithers, that it is known to them as an actual and workable law. We all of us have to learn that just as we pinch and hold on to money, we automatically stop its inflow to us. By learning thus to give or use money freely and fearlessly from a consciousness that knows by every act of our giving, we open the gate, as it were, for more to flow in and in even greater measure, for such is the actual way it does flow, naturally. We not only never hesitate when our heart urges us to give, but we learn to love to give. From a study of the above, what was just written, you will plainly see that it is purely a matter of attaining the right consciousness, that of absolutely trusting in God as our supply, or in the law, if you prefer. For many have discovered there is a law of loving giving which automatically brings its sure returns. And you might as well know now that our loving Father, being always our highest self, is putting us through all of these experiences that seem so hard solely in order to bring us to such trust in Him. For He longs with a great longing to have us give up self utterly so that He can be all things to us and can do all things that He wishes to do through and for us. A tither is one who gives a tenth of his income back to God, seeking to support such phases of His work as enlist his heart interest. There are many notable instances of this who have attained to such faith and trust in Him that they have prospered to an almost incredible extent. The law of giving, however, does not pertain to money only, but is a phase of the greater law of love, whose outer manifestation is service. And service naturally is pure giving, not only of money, which is the least that we can give in actual value, as it deals only with effects, but of spiritual help, which reaches into and removes the cause. We cannot impress too strongly upon students the vital importance of learning to live and work with this great law of loving service. Letting it rule in every thought, word, and act, it is the basic element of discipleship and leads directly to the kingdom. In the next chapter, we will make clear the practical use of this law, showing how in it is hidden the magic secret of attaining success, prosperity, health, happiness, peace, and oneness with the Father. To fortify and strengthen you, read the Master's own words regarding it all in the 6th chapter of Matthew, especially beginning with the 19th verse. Study it carefully, chiefly in order that you may see that our Father requires of us an absolute trust in Him, even exhorting us not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, for where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. I don't know if I said heart correctly there, but anyway. Yes. So this fellow was a Christian, mystical Christian. I would associate him more with a sort of Rosicrucian viewpoint of things, because he gets very much into the hidden esoterica that you would find if you'd actually read all of this book, which is not a small book. And I myself am not a Christian. I myself am not anything, actually. But I celebrate every one of them, and I often will utilize the Christian medium simply because most of the people that come to the radio show, broadcast, or hopefully it's not a show, or read at the blogs are Christians. So I try to, you know, cater to their particular tastes. Though as far as I'm concerned, God appears in every single one of the venues and is legitimate and real in every one of them. And as Ramakrishna, that great Hindu saint, proved, he went into every single religion in the world and experienced enlightenment in every one of them. Became fully enlightened in each of the religions and said they're all the same. I rest my case. Well, I rest his case. I myself don't know, but I take it on, as I say, good authority. And to me, he is good authority. Well, I'm working very hard here, and I guess I'd like to get back to it. So that means, oh my goodness, just like that, we've reached the end of another broadcast. And I will be talking to you next week, if there is one. May you profit from what was said here tonight, and may it become a part of your existence from here on. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesha. Hare Krishna. Much love, Lady Nature, and my lovely Green Tara. Arakbar. Om Amitabha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ, and carry on, Baha'u'lla. Aloha, and Hare. He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.